Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the chance to gather together as your family in your house to be able to study your word. Help us now as we open your word to understand what we study and apply it to our lives and to share it with others as well, so they also can come in and know you as their Lord and Savior and be able to bring all the honor and glory to you through all this. We thank you so much for that. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z on the subject of backsliding, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and pick it up in verse 11 here. Now, the setting that we have here is young Samuel being raised by Eli. Now, Eli has already got two sons that he has raised, and they turned against the teaching of Eli and were abusing the position that they had. And the Lord wasn't very pleased over it, as we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, pick it up, verse 11. Which then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." The warning came to him concerning his house that he would have judgment upon his family as a result of his ungodly children. Continue to verse 13. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." It's interesting here how this judgment is coming upon his family, and the Lord's holding Eli accountable for not restraining his sons. "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And no chance of getting that right. That would fall into that, like we were talking about Sunday, the reprobate situation. When the door was closed there for them because of their backslidden attitude. But let's move on now to 1 Kings chapter 11. Here we see one of the wisest, known as the wisest person in the Bible, that was blessed by God when he was given the opportunity to be king over Israel, which we're speaking of Solomon. And Solomon had done quite well for a good bit of time. If you know, he wrote the book of Proverbs, a lot of wisdom in that. But now he's getting some years on him, and he's getting more and more influence from some of the things that he shouldn't have been doing, and that was having so many wives. As we read here in 1 Kings chapter 11, let's pick it up in verse 1. "But King Solomon loved many strange women." Now, this strange women is those that are not of the tribe of Israel. That's who would be identified as strange. "Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you." He had already told them not to have them as your wives, but he took all them on. "For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after the other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. You kind of scratch your head and wonder, you know, here we have Solomon, the one who was blessed with so much given to him and all the wisdom that he had, and walking so closely with God for so many years, and then turning in his later years and getting into all this abomination. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And as through our studies, we know that is the tribe of Judah that was preserved for quite some time after this event. But consequences, judgment coming to his descendants, to him, because of his backslidden attitude and behavior. So we got to always understand that our actions have consequences. Psalm 53, we'll turn over there. We'll read this whole psalm here. It's not a very long one. It's in our book listed as Rampant Backsliding. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they that have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Little psalm there about how the backslidden attitude of the people, speaking about the children of Israel. All right, now another one here, Psalm 73. So let's read this entire psalm. It's a little bit longer than 53. It's 28 verses, but we can see the journey of this man who was godly, then he slipped, and then he got things right. In Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Pointing out that what he had done, that he had slipped, he had backslidden. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. This is something people fall into. They look out in the world and they see the fun that the sinners are having, what they think is fun, and the prosperity that they seem to have, and think, well, if I did that, if I did what they're doing, you know, if I sold drugs or if I cheated or if I stole, and then I'd have that prosperity, or if I'd stepped on everybody on my way up the ladder, and then I might be able to be a CEO of this company, or slept with the bosses so I can get promotion, or different things like that. They get envious of the others that are prospering where they are not, because they are holding to the moral code of being a Christian. That was the situation that Asaph was looking around and seeing prosperity of the ungodly, and he was getting jealous of them. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. That they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? It's like they think they can get away with their ungodly behavior, thinking that they can hide their actions. That's why sin is so rampant in the dark, at night. Some of these clubs that they go to, it's very dark. Some of the areas, lots of darkness, because they think if they're in the darkness that their sins are better hidden. And they're wondering, well, God don't know. And is there knowledge in the Most High? Like, does he really know? Is he really listening? Is he still there? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. When you go to the Lord and you pray about it, and you know through studying His Word and listening to the Holy Ghost what you have to look forward to for eternity, and also knowledge knowing what they have, judgment upon them for eternity. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Talking about their judgment. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh so. O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Coming to his senses and realizing that he needed to correct the error of his ways and not be envious of the ungodly, and not slip, as it says he started to. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Looking forward to that, knowing that the Lord can guide us through everything. When we fall away, do as he did, seek the Lord. Call to him, pray to him, and he'll get you back on the right path. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So Asaph went through a journey, backslid there for a little bit, got envious of others, but sought the Lord and got things right. And that's an awesome testimony for Asaph there. All right, now if you will, go to Psalm 119. Now, we're not going to read the entire Psalm 119. As you know, that is the longest book of the Bible. We're going to do one section of it, which is verses 65 through 72. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Acknowledgement of a backslidden situation and returning to the Lord. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as far as, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Learning from the error of his ways. Sometimes we can do that as well. When we have failed, when we have slipped, when we have gone astray, when we have failed a temptation, then we can learn from that and know what we need to stay away from, activities or objects or individuals, whatever it might be, even thoughts. We can learn from that, like he is telling us here, that he learned from his mistakes when he fell away. He knows what he needs to do to stay right. 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Acknowledging what is of real value, and that is a good relationship with God. You're studying his word. We receive that prayer and listening to the Holy Ghost. We'll turn over to Jonah. Jonah was a man that was considered a prophet, identified as a minor prophet because of the small book that is in here. But he was a man that God communicated to and used to spread the word of God. And he was given an order to go to Nineveh. And let's see what he does. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Thought he could escape. Thought he could run away from the Lord. Going in the opposite direction he was supposed to be going. Supposed to be going to Nineveh. Didn't want to. Thought he knew a better way to handle things. Thought if he just left, got out of the area, then he wouldn't have to do the job that was set before him to do. Didn't work out well for him right away. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it to them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And he said, Everyone to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. Upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. He admitted it. He told them what he had done. He said, The Lord told me to go do something, and I didn't do it. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the seas, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This sounds totally unbelievable when you hear about this, but there is conditions that we know of through research that this could occur, that he could be in this huge fish. There are huge areas within the fish that could be enough air in there to keep him. And he would probably be in a, almost what you might say, a semi-coma state, and be in that fish and be able to survive the time that he is in there. There's even been some accounts through history of other people that have been swallowed by huge fish and spit back out and survived. So this is an event that actually did take place. And he was in there that much time, and gave him some time to think about the error of his ways. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. From the pit of the depth that you can fall in backsliding, like being in the belly of a stinking fish, and that you can cry out from that condition, from that situation, and the Lord will still hear you. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So we can get salvation from even the deepest, darkest depths of our misbehavior, of our backsliding, just as Jonah did and got spit out of that fish up on dry land and was able to go about and continue the work that the Lord had laid out for him to do, because he returned to the Lord from his backslidden condition, which we can learn from that and the others that we see here, that there are ways that we can stumble. Even if we are as wise as Solomon, there are still pitfalls out there that we can stumble in and backslide and know that we need to turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and He can return the joy of our salvation to us and return us to the service to bring honor and glory to Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It is so powerful. All these historical events that took place so long ago that can still apply to our lives today and tomorrow. Help us to learn from them and help us to apply it to our lives and share that information with others as well, so that others can come out of their backslidden ways and get back on the straight and narrow to bring honor and glory to You. We have so much work ahead of us and so much to look forward to. Help us all to be busy doing the work You have in store for us. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.